I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Here we are, the closing days in the must-win state of Pennsylvania. It's great to be back with you on a Friday, 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Cioli. Thank you for being here. On Instagram, at Cioli Show. And it's great to welcome back to the show. She's a fighter. She fights for freedom. She's Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, and she is the House. This is great. House Republican Conference Chair. How are you, Congresswoman?
I am good. Good to be with you this Friday.
No, listen, you were a big, big fan favorite last time you came on the show. So I want you to know that. They loved it.
Oh, thanks. I'm excited to be back.
And, of course, just as a reminder, my wife is from Tupper Lake, which is in your district. So I don't know if she has an absentee ballot up there or not. I don't know in New York if people can vote in multiple places. But she's a fan as well. So I just wanted to pass that along to you. So there you go.
Oh, good. We have absentees in New York State, and early voting starts in New York October 26th. But importantly, Pennsylvania. We need to turn out those votes in Pennsylvania as well.
All right, so let's talk about this. Closing arguments, Donald Trump being called a fascist compared to Hitler by Kamala Harris. It's so insulting to the 81 million people that voted for him in the last election, is it not?
Oh, it's insulting, and it shows how much the flailing Democrats are. They have no message because they have an abysmal record that they cannot run on. Think about this. Under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's watch, we have the most catastrophic open border in our nation's history. We have historic inflation. We have energy prices through the roof. We have, look at the wars that have broken out around the world, our allies under attack, and you have an enfeebled president and vice president. Compare that to the success of President Trump. You had a secure border. You had peace through strength and a strong economy. This is a very clear choice this election cycle. But the Democrats, they are so desperate right now. And that type of language, I believe, led to the two assassination attempts against President Trump this year. It is unacceptable. It needs to be condemned. And you know what? Hillary Clinton, she should not be offering public comment because it's just abysmal that she's making these public comments.
Yeah, and I played a clip earlier. There's some undecided voters in Pennsylvania. It's not working on them, the whole Trump is Hitler thing. They don't believe it because he was president for 4 years, and he didn't do any of those things. He was not a fascist. And so it's just a ridiculous, ridiculous argument. But it goes to show how her campaign, there's no substance there whatsoever. I think we saw that on stage the other night with Anderson Cooper. I mean, that was bad. Even liberal journalists and liberal media outlets were saying that was bad. That was bad.
I think this is a trend. You're seeing that the media has propped up these Democrat candidates, whether it's presidential candidates like Joe Biden, when they hid from the American people. Remember, it was Republicans that had said for well over a year that there are health and mental acuity issues that need to be addressed. No, we were attacked. The media hid that. Then they hid Kamala Harris's real incompetence. She can't answer a question straightforward. These are softball questions. And now when you're seeing some of these debates, even with these Senate races and House races, you can just see how less than mediocre these Democrat candidates are. They cannot answer the most basic questions. And our Republicans have a vision. They have a record. They have policy ideas. They know how to answer these questions. And we've had to work harder to get our message out there because of the bias in the mainstream media. So I think this election has exposed so much, is exposed the rot in the Democrat Party. It has exposed we knew about the bias in the mainstream media, but really the complicity of the mainstream media serving as stenographers of the left. So people are waking up, and you're seeing really seismic shifts politically. It's not just Republicans who are voting for President Trump. It's independents and Democrats as well, because they know that our country's on the wrong track under Democrat policies, and it needs to be straightened out. And President Trump will bring that strength to the Oval Office.
And Elise Stefanik, I thought it was interesting that the Washington Post refused to endorse a candidate. And you know that if they were going to, they would have endorsed Kamala Harris.
Yeah, isn't that telling? Well, that is very telling. Obviously, there are tremendous issues fracturing even in the Democrat Party. She has lost labor support. She's losing support in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. in Michigan, of demographics that they previously thought they were entitled to. You know, no one is entitled to these positions when you're in elected office. You have to earn it every single cycle on the ballot. And there has been this sense of entitlement for far too long of Democrats, despite their horrific track record when it comes to their policies. So we're, as I said, we're seeing historic support for President Trump among Hispanic voters, African-American voters, Asian-American voters, Indian-American voters, Jewish-American voters. It you know, continues to defy the political prognosticators. But President Trump has a vision that works for all Americans, and he never functions as entitled. He works every single day. He outworks his opponents.
Yeah. And you know him, Elise Stefanik, you know him well. And I appreciate, you know, your time today in fighting here in Pennsylvania. Your state in New York, which has a moratorium on fracking. And I, it was very telling the other day when Kamala Harris's environmental kook spokesperson came out and said, no, you know, she's not going to expand fracking, and then trying to run away from the fracking leases that were in the misnamed Inflation Reduction Act by running away from that and saying, No. She didn't support that. She didn't support that. Another flip flop. Bottom line is this. If Kamala Harris gets in there, Pennsylvania is going to be completely screwed when it comes to fracking. Trump said today again, frack, frack, frack. And I love when he says that because it just rolls off the tongue. Frack, frack, frack.
He's exactly right. She is so radical. She wants a full ban on fracking. And I'll tell you, from the state of New York, where we have a moratorium on fracking, we have lost out so much economically. And it's been to Pennsylvania's gain, because we see the jobs, the economic growth, the billions of impact, of economic impact it has had on families and the communities. And New York, because of our radical far left policies, has been left behind with our really, really out of touch energy policies. She is that radical, and President Trump will continue to invest in fracking. Frack, frack, frack. That's his message. And we saw that in his first term. We saw that he expanded energy independence, that we were, you know, the energy dominant leader globally. And look at where we are today. We have to rely on imports from not allies, but from adversaries around the globe. It's a disgrace. And it's another area where no amount of covering up could make up for Kamala Harris's radical position, which she wants to ban fracking.
And that moratorium on fracking in New York State, just so everybody understands what that means. I mean, that means that there's nothing going forward with this. So if we apply that in Pennsylvania, or they apply that on the federal level, goodbye liquid natural gas export facilities. I mean, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, can you believe right now at this moment they still have a ban on the export of liquid natural gas? We are 12 days from an election, 11 days, whatever it is. There's still a ban on the export of liquid natural gas. How politically stupid is this administration?
It's insane. And it's because they're not working on behalf of the American people. They're trying to appease the radical Green New Deal left, the progressives, who want to not only ban all forms of energy exploration, but want to move us and force everyone onto electric vehicles, where we do not have the infrastructure to support that, nor can families afford that. So it's just another example of out-of-touch policies. They want to tax, tax, tax. They want to make all the decisions. I mean, in New York State, we had a ban on gas stoves. That was a proposal put in New York State and passed in New York State. Think about that. And Kamala Harris supports that policy. Meanwhile, she's cooking on her gas stove, but doesn't want that for any other New Yorker or any other American. That's how radical they are, and fundamentally anti-American energy their policies are. So energy is going to be a driving issue this election cycle, certainly in Pennsylvania, but nationwide as well.
Congresswoman, the other issue, too, is the intelligence leak that you did a great job on Fox News explaining what happened here with and how dangerous this is with regards to Israel, the battle plans against Iran. This intelligence leak, this is a real problem here. And it seems like it's with Halloween here, it's the serial killer. You know, the calls coming from inside the house, as they say.
It's a very serious problem, and what is even worse is you have no sense of urgency from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris into doing a fulsome investigation to get to the bottom of it and to do criminal referrals for prosecution so that this never happens again. heard from the White House podium was, oh, we'll try to prevent this from happening again. Israel is in the middle of a hot war protecting its right to exist and its national security. There are operations that are happening every single day to take out the terrorists of Hamas, Hezbollah that are backed by Iran. And you have an administration at every opportunity, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have turned their backs on Israel. We know because of the oversight work that I've done and others have focused on that there is an Iranian malign influence campaign at the highest levels of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's national security team, that they actually have Iranian actors who are there to promote the Iranian regime, and yet they failed to fire those individuals. So it shows a fundamental lack of focus on protecting our national security and turning our back on Israel at every opportunity, let alone the Iranian election interference with the hacks and the assassination attempts that have been noted and released by the Department of Justice and the FBI, the assassination attempts targeting President Trump.
Yeah. And that's the other thing I wanted to ask you. I had on yesterday your colleague, Congressman Mike Kelly, about this from Pennsylvania. I know we're going to get the full report in December, but it just seems like such an absolute failure by the Secret Service. Are there any other particular questions that you have right now?
Oh, there are so many questions. I have questions on the lack of communication, the lack of accountability, the fact that they immediately started pointing fingers rather than taking accountability and getting to the bottom of it. They didn't provide adequate resources. I have questions as to how far up the chain that went to the White House, not providing the needed resources and the personnel, just given the amount of threats that President Trump has, which is arguably more threats than any other person on the planet, and more questions than answers. That's why the oversight work of that committee is so important.
Well, listen, thanks for joining us here in Philadelphia. We appreciate it very much. Keep up the great fight. I know that you're also going to be doing another bus tour as well, so we hope to see you soon. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, thanks for everything you're doing to try to help turn Pennsylvania red this time around. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. He's got his Veterans Breakfast coming up, which is going to be on November 9th, Saturday, November 9th. So mark your calendar for that and come out and see him and say thank you to our veterans and get some coffee, cake, donuts, even breakfast pizza, which I endorse breakfast pizza, by the way. Pat is in Philadelphia. Pat, you have a story about the election. What's going on?
Yes. It was brought to my attention by my daughter that she went on a plane and she said there was a lot of illegals on this plane last night. I just want to know, why are illegals being flown from one place to another? And is this happening all the time?
Well, yeah, we know that that's been happening, right? We know that they're flying illegal immigrants around on this country throughout the country, and it's a real problem. It absolutely is. So I can only tell you that unless Trump gets elected, this is going to be, they're going to continue to do this. I think what they want to do ultimately, Pat, is flood the zone, get a lot of these illegal immigrants into red states, make them citizens, and hope that they vote for Democrats, and that's ultimately what their goal is.
Well, this is not very safe, especially for a young girl on a plane, too. I mean, and I don't understand why these immigrants are coming over here and just getting like tons of money free. I mean, they're getting free airfare, and my daughter has to pay for an air ticket. I mean, seriously?
Well, they're also getting free benefits, too, Pat. Don't forget that. And I'm sure your daughter has to pay for benefits, right?
Yes, yes. And my daughter's single. My daughter's single, and you wouldn't believe.
Wait. Yeah, how old is she?
She's in her 40s.
Is she good looking? Because we got a couple of eligible bachelors on the show.
I don't think she's interested. She's studying to be a paramedic right now. So
even better. We got single guys in the Zioli Army. They'd be all over this. They'd love it.
Well, I just want. Well, I really am. I'm serious about this. I'm very upset that we have to be subject to this. This is
no.
Terrible.
Listen, I hear you, my friend. I do, and let's hope we get some change in November. And thank you for the phone call. And have a great weekend, okay, Pat?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. Let me go to Vincent Altieri. Vincent, what's going on?
Hey, Rich. Vince Altieri here. You were kind enough to have me on as a school board candidate. On the
I remember,
a few times.
Of course. How,
you,
how can we forget you, Vincent Altieri? You're a great guy.
Hey, you got to help me understand something. So,
sure.
This whole Virginia roll call, I don't understand. What I can't get my arms around is, and I get these people, they self-identified as non-citizens.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get on the roll call to begin with if they're non-citizens?
Yep. Yes, that's exactly the problem. In Virginia's case, the governor there is saying that a lot of them forged the paperwork, which is why they're trying to get rid of these people. Trump brought it up today. Glenn Youngkin brought it up today as well. They're going to fight this. I mean, this is outrageous, but it shows you the priorities of this administration, right? They want to make sure that illegals get to vote, that people who are not citizens get to vote in the federal election. That is their priority right now.
You know, and the other thing you just touched on, immigration, you know, flashback 4 years ago when Biden and Kamala were running, never once did they tell us that they were going to open the borders.
Mm-hmm.
And no one ever asked them that. You know, why doesn't, I mean, she doesn't answer a question anyway, but why not ask her, you never told us, so what else are you going to do? Because, you know, she's got a chance to get elected, let's face it. What else are you going to do that you're not telling us?
Yeah,
and
correct.
I think we're missing that point.
Well, all we got to do is you got to just listen to what she said back in 2019, Vincent, and then you know exactly what she's going to do and how radical left she's going to be. Listen, buddy, did you vote yet? That's the most important question.
I'm voting this weekend, Rich.
All right, good. All right, good. Thank you, Vincent. Keep up the good work, buddy. All right, stay active and keep your head up. We appreciate it.
See you, bud.
All right. Let me play a clip for you, actually, of Governor Glenn Youngkin talking about this situation, what he's doing. He's filing an emergency court order to keep illegal aliens off the Virginia voting rolls. Cut number 6.
And what's even more astounding is the vast majority of these folks had presented immigration documents confirming that they were non-citizens. And we recently had that verified by federal authorities. So here we are with a judge saying, put people back on the voter rolls who you know are non-citizens. And this is under a law in Virginia that's been in effect since 2006. It has been applied by Republican and Democrat governors alike into this 90-day period. And here we are 11 days before a presidential election and a federal judge is ordering them back on the voter rolls. It's astounding to me that this could possibly happen. I mean, listen, common sense says non-citizens aren't on the voter rolls, but the Constitution and the law say it as well. And that's why we are immediately petitioning the Fourth Circuit for an emergency stay here on this injunction.
Mm-hmm.
And we will immediately go to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary.
Look,
we are not going to sit by and let this happen.
I'm reading, Governor, that the executive order requiring the removal of them came on August 7th, which was 90 days before Election Day.
Yeah, and Trump also brought this issue up, too, by the way. He was speaking today in Texas. He made a statement on the Biden-appointed federal judge ruling that Virginia must reinstate 1,600 non-citizen voters. It's outrageous. Cut 27.
Before we begin, I want to address the unconstitutional decision issued today by a radical judge appointed by Biden. And it just came down in Virginia, illegally allowing non-citizens to vote in our elections. In fact, a poll came out, 87% of the people disagree, so that's a pretty good amount, isn't it, Ted, huh? The outrageous decision goes against the very bedrock of our democracy, and thankfully, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, who's doing a terrific job, is working hard to fix this problem. They found thousands of illegal votes, and the judge said, you didn't do it in a timely fashion. They did it a long time ago. As legal scholar Andy McCarthy just said, and very correctly, how can non-citizens be allowed on the voter rolls if their voting is a federal crime? constitutional law professor, Jonathan Turley, two great guys, by the way, also notes that it is a crime to be a non-citizen voter. Removing illegal voters off the voting roll should be a big priority for this country, and yet instead we're scorned by a judge. This is blatantly un-American, and it's election interference, and Kamala Harris is behind it very much. And so I just wanted to bring that to your attention, and obviously, I mean, it's up to the governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, but I assume they're going to be appealing it. I think he's going to. And they feel very strongly about it, so we'll see how it goes. But you have to get the confidence going for elections when you have decisions coming down like that where they allow people to vote that blatantly aren't qualified to vote. It's pretty sad for our country. We have enough problems with the elections. It's about confidence.
Yeah, exactly right. And he's right. It's about confidence. No question about that. And it's confidence that we have to have. And we just don't have it right now. All right. Listen, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. As we continue along the show here today, let me quickly go to Ed in Delran. Ed, what's going on, my man?
Holy guacamole. Everybody ought to listen to Rich Zeoli.
There you go.
That's right. And to coin a phrase from Rush Limbaugh, I had more fun today than a human being should be allowed to have. Tell me what I was doing. Do you have any idea?
I don't know what you were doing.
I saw Nick Thorne and Greg down at the FOP Lodge in West Berlin this morning. And
excellent.
Let me tell you, that 3 hours went by fast. I had such fun.
Good. Well, sometime you got to come out and join us in Cape May, Ed, all right? Well, we'd love to see you there for that, too. You got to make the trip.
Oh, you can count on it. Hey, and I also wanted to comment on the impersonators. They do phenomenal work. And let me tell you what.
They are great.
Yeah, if you shut your eyes, you'll think it's really Trump and Kamala Harris, who grew up in a middle-class family.
There you go. All right, Ed. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend. I appreciate it. Glad you got to go to the event today. You're one of the lucky few who got to go. It's why you got to sign up for these events as soon as they go on sale. Oh, and as a hint, keep November 13th open, if you know what I mean. All right, listen, we got a big show coming up. I'm over here, so let me take a quick break. But when we get back, the real question for Dr. Victoria Coates, of course, is where do we go next with Iran and Israel? She'll be my guest straight ahead. And keep those comments coming in regarding voter irregularities. I need to hear them. I got to hear what you have to say about them. We cannot let any of this get by us. We have to make sure we are all over this, okay? And before I go to break, let me just quickly tell you about my friends over at Emmons Roofing and Siding, who do great work. This is the time of year. Your roof, siding, windows, doors, you got to get this done before winter comes. New roof, you'll have the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business by far. The Anderson window replacement, door. And here's the best part for each and every one of my listeners, 10% off. 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson windows and doors. That's right, with Emmons Roofing and Siding. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Jersey Shore, and Delaware. Emmons serves the whole region, so make sure you reach out to them today. You'll be happy with the work. And most importantly, your home will look great from the curb and have the peace and protection that you need. So what are you waiting for? 10% off inflation relief discount? You can't beat that. If the work needs to get done, you got to make sure it gets done. So go to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone's commenting how Ed started a little early this morning at the live show at the FOP Lodge. Oh, good for him. All right, listen, we will be back at the Grand Hotel of Cape May on December 20th for our next live show. So make sure you join us for that. And we'd love to see you for that. And Mark, November 13th, just keep the date open on your calendar. Hope to have an announcement for you next week. And yes, I'm wearing my Go Bird shirt because we got an Eagles game on Sunday. We are definitely going to beat the team that we're playing. I feel really good about it. They're going to beat the
Bengals.
The music group? They're still around? Walk Like an Egyptian? Manic Monday? Them?
Yeah, the Eagles are heavy favorites.
Oh, good. Boy, I loved them when did I have a crush on that lead singer? Oof. Did I ever? Back in the day? I know. Going back in memory road here, but, you know, I'm just saying. So we're really playing them, huh? That's good. Hopefully it's a fair fight. Boy, they're letting anybody play football these days, huh? Truly amazing. Okay, well, I know Dr. Coates is going to join us in a minute. I guess she's running a little bit late, so let me play a clip for you. Let me do this. I'm going to give a quick call. We have a number of people that are patiently holding. The phones are blowing up today, which is great. Polo in Philadelphia. Polo, how are you?
I'm good. Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, buddy, but call me Rich. Never call me Rick, Polo. I hate it.
I said Rich. I got a bad connection. But
all right, that's okay. Good.
I met you at the Park Casino a long time ago. I was the guy screaming the only army a lot, and you tried to call me up front, but I was too tipsy, so I couldn't go do that. I don't know if you remember. I met Kale that day, but yeah.
Yeah, I remember you. I remember you, and the fact that you remember that, considering how tipsy you were, says a lot. That's impressive. That's good recall right there.
You're an impressive guy. Even if you're a little bit under the rocks, you are the one to keep you up.
All right.
My wife said, go up there. Anyway, real quick, I wanted to tell you, we got 5 mail-in ballots, right? And they were all kind of sealed already. So I was like, what do I do? So I used my old mom's technique of checking my dad's mail, right? And I steamed it with a butter knife. I got it open. We did our vote for Trump, all 5 of us. My daughter turned 18. She voted. My son was his first time voting, 19, and then my oldest son, 20, was the second time voting for Trump. And I always vote for Trump, and so is my wife. So we had 5 votes there, but all 5 of our ballots were all already sealed. We ended up, I opened them, we voted, I closed them, and I used that school glue that disappears, and I glued it. I'm hoping that they don't send it back to me because, you know, my dad never figured it out. He was a Vietnam vet. He never figured it out. But I think these people won't figure it out either. So what do you think?
Wait, I want to be clear. You're not cheating in any way, shape, or form here, are you?
No, sir. No.
Oh.
They were already sealed.
No. I got. So then they were already sealed. You opened them. You put your ballot in, and you sealed them shut. You glued them. I just want to make sure I'm hearing this correctly. You're not adding multiple ballots to that. You just the one.
No.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That? That's bad.
That's not the advice that we've been getting is you should turn that ballot in person. You know what I mean? You should bring it in person. But if you already mailed it back, let's just hope for the best.
Yeah, well, I sent it about that was like a month ago. And I got videos, though. I have a video made. Well, my son made the video of me explaining why I'm doing this. So if they ever ask, I have the video.
Okay, good.
I'm not dumb.
Well, I think there's a way you can check. I think if you call the Board of Elections, you can check and make sure that they got your ballot and that everything's okay. So you can call them and find out.
I'll do that. And one more thing. On Saturday, tomorrow, they got a Blacks for Latinos and a Blacks for Trump and Latinos for Trump on Lehigh Avenue down by Richmond after Aramingo.
Yeah.
We're all going to be there. There's going to be a bunch of us there.
I love it.
A whole load of us. So, we're there with you. And I'm going to try to get there on the 20th. My birthday's on the 28th. Try to get there down to Jersey and see you again. Maybe this time I won't drink before you get there, and I'll be not tipsy.
Well, right? No, you'll definitely drink while I'm there. I can tell you that because everybody does. It turns into a gigantic party. It's great. It's so much fun.
That's the plan.
All right, Paul, listen, it's good talking to you again, buddy. I want to see you on the 20th, all right? Make sure you get there,
sir.
But just don't drink till you get there, all right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And God bless you and your family and all the guys that work with you there. And he has a laugh that makes me laugh. I'm DeSantis.
Oh, DeSantis. You like that? You like that 12-year-old girl laugh he has? You like that?
Yeah.
That's good.
He makes me laugh. every time he laughs. So that's
good. You know who else loves him is his fake girlfriend, Snuffleupagus. She loves him too.
I know she got blown up with Chinese air. Come on. All right.
That's just something. All right, buddy. Good talking to you, Polo. All right. I remember him from Parks. Great guy. Larry's in Hatboro. Larry, what's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to, you guys were talking about flying illegal aliens all over.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I can say is the head of the FAA knows about that. And the funny thing, I don't know who the head of the FAA is, but I'm sure they're shoving that under the rug that this is going on. But I heard a guy nominated to be head of the FAA, and Senator Kennedy was grilling him. This guy had no right to be even nominated. He was originally like the parking guy at
Denver Airport. That guy couldn't even explain anything about airplanes. Like, I don't even think he knew that they serve snacks on airplanes sometimes. He knew nothing about them. I remember that.
He never flew one, fixed one, never.
They didn't even know anything about the Airbus. I mean,
but
he didn't even know about the Mile High Club. That's how bad this guy was when they grilled him.
Yeah, and so they get people like that are completely under their thumb and has no objection, because they'll be like, well, we gave you the job and you weren't qualified, so you just shut up. You know, because they know that somebody, you know, way high up like that is in charge of hiding it.
Well, they want to hire incompetent people. But the flying illegal immigrants thing around the country is not a secret. They're not trying to keep it a secret. They're pretty brazen about it.
Well, the extent of it, I'm sure they're blowing that. The extent of putting them up in hotels and all that. I mean, they won't talk to you at the front desk when they've commandeered a big high-rise hotel and you walk in and you ask questions. They tell you to get out.
Well, there's reasons why they're doing this. And Larry, thanks for the call, buddy, and have a great weekend, okay?
You too.
All right. There's reason why they're doing this. I have an article here. Dems see warning signs for Harris with the Ute vote in Arizona. Young voters turned out in record numbers in Arizona in 2020. Trump is making inroads with them now. Do you realize there's warning signs literally everywhere for Kamala Harris? In every demographic, in every age, I mean, everything. Every demographic, age group, etc., there's warning signs. There's not one category where you can say Kamala Harris is crushing it, even with women voters, because they need the numbers to be so high to make up for all the other groups that she's losing. And then they thought, well, young people are going to be a lock. Not so much. When they're looking at this and they're looking at Arizona, which is a must-win state here, Harris faces a similar challenge with youth voters nationally, including in Michigan. Nowhere are they more clear than in the West, where young Latinos alone make up more than 40% of all newly eligible voters. Even some young voters who say they will vote for Democrats in other races here are not supporting Harris. In the most recent New York Times Siena College poll, Trump leads Harris by 5 points in Arizona, even as Democratic Senate candidate Ruben Gallego leads GOP Senate hopeful Hottie, according to Bill Clinton, Carrie Lake, by 7 points. Bill Clinton said she's hot, so. The gap with youth voters in Arizona is even more stark. Harris leads Trump 53-44 among 18 to 29-year-olds, while Gallego leads Lake 58-28. In other words, there may be a situation in Arizona where people wind up voting Trump and then voting Gallego, which usually doesn't happen. But that may be more to do with Carrie Lake than anything else. All right, Dr. Coates is ready. All right, let's cue up her music here. Let's do it. Yes! I love this, too, when she joins us on Fridays. She always joins us on Fridays. She's a big shot author. She's a big deal. And just so you know, if Donald Trump wins, when he wins, She's probably going to be very, very high up in his administration. But for now, she is the former deputy national security advisor to Donald Trump, vice president of the Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. And you can pre-order her book, The Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. She is Dr. Victoria Coates. Hello, my friend.
Hello, Rich. Good to see you and that we're both wearing our Eagles green.
I love it. I think it's great. You look fantastic on our YouTube stream. So thanks for joining us.
No, absolutely. The miracles of modern technology.
First of all, how do you think the Eagles are going to do against the Bengals this weekend?
Oh, I think they're going to be just fine. I think they really have actually turned a corner. Things seem to be firing much better, getting Devontae back, getting AJ back. These are critical pieces for them. But most importantly, I think that defense is starting to pull itself together and get sort of legs under them. So looking forward to the game.
Yeah, me too. And I'm looking forward to the fact that it looks like, at least for now, Nick Foles has some job security, which is good. All right, let's talk about a couple of different things. I want to play for you a clip. I played it earlier in the show, but since we're streaming live on YouTube, everybody will get to watch it again. It's a very powerful ad put out by the Trump campaign. Features a man who is a survivor of Auschwitz. Let's play cut number 9.
My name is Jerry Wartsky. I'm 94 years old. And survivor of Auschwitz and the Death Marches. Adolf Hitler invaded Poland when I was 9 years old. He murdered my parents and most of our family. I know more about Hitler than Kamala will ever know in 1,000 lifetimes. For her to accuse President Trump of being like Hitler is the worst thing I've ever heard in my 75 years living in the United States. I know President Trump, and he will never say this, and Kamala Harris knows it. This. She owes my parents and everybody else who was murdered by Hitler an apology for repeating this lie.
Why should the Jewish people support President Trump?
Because he's a mensch. I believe that President Trump is definitely going to be good for Israel, because in everything that he's done up to now was in favor. He never double-crossed anyone, and he never showed any weakness. Watching President Trump pray for the hostages at the Ohel and getting to spend time with him so meaningful. He has always stood with the Jewish people and the state of Israel.
It's an incredibly powerful ad, Dr. Coates. And as the author of Battle for the Jewish State, I'd love to get your reaction to it.
Yeah, I think Mr. Wartsky's appearance, I mean, that should be the ad of the cycle, because for a 94-year-old man, you think what he's seen. At 9 years old, he lost his family to Hitler's death machine, and then came to the United States 10 years later to start his new life. And what he's seen and what he's known from America, and for him to feel he wants to step forward now and say, stop with this horrible Hitler rhetoric. I heard earlier today on the news somebody read the list of all the Republicans who have been demonized as Hitler by the Democrats. And it's pretty much everyone you could imagine, including Paul Ryan over the last 30 years. And it's become so hackneyed and overused that you almost don't hear it anymore until you hear that voice saying, I saw this. I know more about Hitler. You know, this is utterly inappropriate. You owe an apology to everybody who lost their lives in the Holocaust. And so I think particularly in the period after October 7th, which is why I wrote The Battle for the Jewish State, because it's the battle we're both in. That's why America's in the subtitle. We have it here at home, that attacking our own society. We all need to be much more serious about this.
And a couple things. I mean, number one, the idea that the vice president of the United States of America would come out in front of the seal of the vice president and say these things about Donald Trump, who's a former president. And this is something I don't think enough people are saying. It's one thing to say this in 2016, and I'm not excusing Hillary Clinton saying it in 2016, but he was president of the United States, and 81 million people voted for him twice. And so to make the argument that the American people voted for Adolf Hitler, who voted for a fascist, is so insulting. This is way beyond basket of deplorables kind of stuff here.
Well, not to make it all about me, but it also insults the service of all the people who worked for him, that we were somehow willfully colluding to keep Hitler in power, although apparently we kind of failed because he left in January of 2021, despite our best machinations. But that's what's extraordinary. You know, and Hillary Clinton was out today doubling down on the basket of deplorables and talking about how horrible everybody is who supports Donald Trump and everybody who's going to go to Madison Square Garden next week for what I am sure is going to be a incredible, maybe the political rally to end all political rallies, that they're essentially like the group that did support Hitler in 1939. I don't think any of us are quite old enough to remember 1939. I think the people going to that rally are people who support the former president, support a stronger America, you know, and support, you know, greater security and prosperity for us here at home, not people who are supporting Hitler. It's disgraceful. And both the vice president and the former secretary of state should be ashamed.
Billy Joel played at Madison Square Garden. I mean, he just played there recently, and people who were lucky enough to see him play Madison Square Garden. So I mean, it's just her comments are so incredibly obtuse. But the point you just made about as a staff member, so then I'll take it a step further. Our mutual friends, Jared Kushner, Avi Berkowitz, who worked very hard in the Abraham Accords, with your help, of course, as well, which would have, if the Biden administration had kept those in place, Israel would be in a much better position right now than where it is. And the fact that Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris, and the others would imply that Jared would work for a man who's like Hitler when, you know, his kids are Jewish, his grandmother is a Holocaust survivor, and then they work up the Abraham Accords, which gives Israel greater security, and had that relationship with Israel and Saudi Arabia really been forged. October 7th certainly would never have happened. But also, too, that the guy who's supposedly Hitler moves the American embassy to Jerusalem, which Israel recognizes as its true capital, despite what the American media says. It's a big insult to the work of those men as well.
Well, to your previous point, you know, the Rangers play at Madison Square Garden, too. And I don't know that I want to stand up for their position on this, but just kidding. I'm not equating the Rangers with Hitler.
No, we don't want to make news with that, because that would be, I mean, we might go viral, but, you know.
Exactly. But no, Avi and Jared and Jason Greenblatt, who was here in Philadelphia on Monday to talk about these issues and, you know, and put such blood, sweat, and tears into first in good faith offer to the Palestinians. You know, we all worked on it for well over a year to try to get to a peace deal for them. They turned it down. That's not our fault. And then turned to the other peace deals that these people would somehow collude with a Hitler type. It just makes no sense. And so, you know, I think it shows you a little bit the desperation the Harris people and the Democrats more broadly seem to find themselves in the closing days of this campaign, as President Trump seems to be picking up steam and, you know, she seems to be deflating somewhat. But the dangerous thing, Rich, is you know, if you're running around and a person in a position of authority like the vice president says, this guy is Hitler, he is a mortal danger to our country. Yeah. I mean, don't you think you might take things into your own hands, at least in terms of maybe manipulating a ballot? But then, I mean, God forbid somebody takes another shot at it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, from the moral perspective, I think we would all agree that if we had the opportunity to go back in time and kill Hitler, we would. Now, I mean, in philosophy class, you debate what the ramifications of that would be in terms of altering the time-space continuum. But look, I mean, Captain America is one of my favorite superheroes for a number of reasons, but mostly because he fights Hitler and he fights the Nazis. And we look at Valkyrie, we look at the other people that try to take Hitler out as heroes. And so to equate Trump to Hitler is saying to somebody, you're doing the morally right thing by taking this man out. And that's why this is beyond anything else in political rhetoric. It's why there's no moral equivalency with that. You know, saying Kamala Harris is lazy for taking a day off on the campaign trail is not the same thing as saying this man is the equivalent of the greatest evil of the 20th century, and you'd be regarded as doing the morally correct thing by stopping him from his rise to power. And that's why it is so incredibly dangerous, that comparison.
Well, and for all those of us who are the children and the grandchildren of the greatest generation, my grandfather, Howard Downey, was a captain in the U.S. Army, second wave going into, I can't talk about it, onto Utah Beach, to whom my book is dedicated. You know, to think that for him, you know, to imagine that his granddaughter colluded with Hitler would be right. Something of a stretch of the imagination. So, you know, this is, I think, personal for a lot of Americans who, you know, just feel very betrayed and demeaned by this kind of rhetoric.
Yeah, because you were in the White House. You were in the West Wing. You were the Deputy National Security Advisor. And Dr. Victoria Coates is with me. Her
guilty.
Book is, what's that?
I said guilty.
Guilty. And hopefully back again, because somebody owes me lunch in the mess. I'm just saying. So the book is Battle for the Jewish State, and it's available for pre-order right now. So make sure you order it. This is an essential book. And we're hoping to do a big event with Dr. Coates as well when a book comes out. Let's switch gears for a moment, but kind of stay in the same realm of Israel and Iran. The leak, the intelligence leak that occurred with the Israeli battle plans, and now it seems as if this might have been somebody who could be in the national security apparatus. We're not sure about that. What can you tell us, if anything, of what your sources are telling you?
Yeah, it looks like it came out of the Pentagon. And the thing about this type of document, Rich, is they can be traced, so you can tell who has clicked on it. Most people in this day and age will access these things through secure computer terminals. And there's a digital record when you open a document. So you can trace what somebody's been reading if you want to, which is privacy you give up when you get one of these security clearances. You know perfectly well this is the case. And so apparently it was a Pentagon terminal that was used. The big question then becomes, was it printed? There really isn't many reasons at this point to print a document anymore that's not in active use in a meeting, unless you want to take a picture of it, you know, get it out of the SCIF, get your cell phone, take a picture of it, and then that's what you transmit. So that's an entirely possible pathway. And a lot of focus has been put on a woman named Ariane Tabatabai, who is in one of the Pentagon offices for special forces. And she was part of that Iran experts group that we've talked about before, the group of Iranian expats who, in collaboration with the Iranian regime, were spreading propaganda in the United States around the Obama nuclear deal, and all their emails were published a year or so ago. And this all surrounds Rob Malley, the suspended special envoy for Iran, who also, the reason he's suspended is he had a security breach. Now, we don't know that Tabatabai is the culprit here. We do know from the Malley case that there is a very fast and loose atmosphere in this administration toward classified information and a willingness to share it with the Iranians or their proxies. But the other thing about Tabatabai that's worth knowing is she wrote a whole bunch of op-eds in the 2019-2020 timeframe, which were helpfully published in the Washington Post, with Phil Gordon, who is Kamala Harris's national security advisor, would almost it surely be her NSC, NSA, in the case if she were elected, about how the mean Trump administration should raise all of the sanctions on Iran. Because, there was COVID and we were going to cause a humanitarian disaster and it would prevent the Iranians from coming to a deal with us and all these things. So she has a long history that deserves attention, whether or not she's the mole in this particular case of collusion with the Iranians, with furthering Iranian causes in the United States with the people who are close to the vice president. So I think that definitely deserves another look, regardless of what happens in this case.
There's a story today that the Trump campaign might have been hacked by China, by the Chinese government. Are you familiar with that? Have you heard that story yet? I know it just kind of broke
right
before I came on the air.
Yeah, just the accounts that they've gotten into emails, and you know, this has happened with the Iranians. The Russians are always trying. I mean, it's a constant stream of attacks. I think today, this month is actually Cyber Awareness Month, so everybody needs to make sure they're paying plenty of attention to that. And it doesn't surprise me that, you know, the Chinese, the Russians, and the Iranians are taking a very strong interest in this campaign. That they are all collectively very concerned that Donald Trump might come back to the White House and, you know, be the kind of tough voice for American interests that he was in the first term.
And the last thing I want to ask you is, there's a story that Russia was propping up the attacks against Tim Walz. And the only question I want to ask you is, do you think that Russia is the reason why Tim Walz comes out on stage like a fat Richard Simmons and waves his hands like he's doing a sweat into the oldies?
Well, I actually think it's probably the Chinese, because he took 20 trips to China when he was actually still in the National Guard and holding a security clearance. And it reminds me, there's that curious story in the Journal today about Elon Musk having conversations with Putin, which is poorly sourced. And there could be a perfectly good reason for the guy who is taking Russian cosmonauts to the International Space Station on SpaceX, as he has done at the request of the Biden-Harris crew, to talk to Russians if he's going to coordinate that activity. I'm not saying that's what it was, but everyone jumps to, oh, Russia, right. Russia, Russia, another person close to Trump loves Putin. And they don't even say boo about Walz and his Chinese associations. And, you know, that doesn't matter. That's perfectly innocent. But the fact that an international businessman may or may not have talked to an international client is evidence of collusion.
And Keith Olbermann actually today said that Joe Biden needs to arrest Elon Musk immediately. Arrest him now.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, not that Olbermann should know better, because he doesn't, but the very strong possibility is Elon, who has a top secret clearance, was probably doing this on the instructions of the government, and that to keep that clearance, he has to disclose these contacts.
Right.
And tell me, Rich, how long do you think the information that Elon Musk had betrayed his security clearance by talking to Vladimir Putin, which is not in any way suggested in this reporting, how long would that have to wait to be leaked after his endorsement of Trump? It doesn't exist.
Dr. Victoria Coates, The Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. Pre-order it today. Have a great weekend, my friend, and go Birds.
Thank you. Go Birds.
All right, we'll be right back.
Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.